I glitched today with having to be at the hospital, so we had to switch things up, but I appreciate very much Brother Johnson taking the morning class and lesson. And so I'm taking the evening lesson here, or the slot for this evening, but we're planning to continue our study about authority in heaven, which we have been involved in now for several weeks. We started last Sunday morning looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. And we were looking particularly at the work of the Holy Spirit that was in the creation and in the, particularly in the inspiration of the scriptures in God's word. Then we're getting to now the work of the Holy Spirit as he was involved with the birth of Christ, and then we'll also the giving of the miraculous powers to Christ. And all of this is part of his, is all of this is the work that he was doing as recorded prior to Christ being given all authority in heaven and in earth after his resurrection. And so what we'll see a transition or a change as the Holy Spirit's work will come under the direction of Christ, as Christ now has all authority in heaven and in earth. But we will try to note that change as it is defined or described in the scriptures here during our lesson tonight. But just reviewing momentarily, we remember last week seeing the Holy Spirit being the one to guide or to provide the words, speak the words to the prophets in the Old Testament. And so those holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, literally as they were carried along, he gave every word. And so all the words from the Father were given to the prophets by the Holy Spirit. Well, now when Christ was coming into the world, the Holy Spirit was very much involved in that, as we would expect. But in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, he records the birth of Christ, as he says, on this wise. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 21. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, all these places where we read in the King James Version where it says Holy Ghost, this is the word for spirit, pneuma. So even though it's translated Holy Ghost several times, it is the word for spirit, so it's the Holy Spirit. So Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So we can see right there a statement that the conception of Christ in Mary's womb was of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that is a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, verses 30 through 35, we also see this described there. Luke 1, 30 through 35. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so we can see the conception of Christ in Mary's womb was a work of the Holy Spirit. So here, the Holy Spirit is very much involved in bringing about the work that Christ was going to do, and that he did do, as he was involved with that work of enabling him to come into this world. Then he was very much also involved with his work while he was on the earth, particularly in the miracles that he did. So we want to look at that now, and all of this is showing how while on earth, Christ's work was very much, a lot of it was directed by the Holy Spirit, which will change after Christ leaves this world. But let's look at some of the scriptures that show us the Holy Spirit's involvement and how he was the one that was giving Christ his power to do miracles. So the baptism of Christ, we have a mention of that in all four gospel accounts. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." So prior to this time, prior to Jesus being baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus did not have the power to do miracles. This is when he received that power. So the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him the power to do miracles. The very next verse of Matthew 4, verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." So again, we see where Christ was going. He was being led there by the Holy Spirit. So he was led there by the Holy Spirit, having received the power to do miracles by the Holy Spirit. This is also recorded in Mark chapter 1, 9 through 13. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him." As recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, 21 and 22, we see again it stated, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." So when he referred to the Spirit of God in Matthew, and then the Spirit in Mark, I mean, he's very plainly stating here in Luke that this was the Holy Spirit that descended upon Christ. And then in chapter 4, Luke 4, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So here the Holy Spirit again is the one that is led Christ into the wilderness there, where he was tempted of the devil. And one of those temptations was to misuse that miraculous power that he now had from the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, 29 through 32. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." So John was the one, of course, that baptized Jesus there, and he was an eyewitness to the Holy Spirit descending from heaven upon Christ. Well, there's prophecy of Christ and the Holy Spirit, his work through Christ in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. We can look at that now. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. We see a similar prophecy in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, Isaiah chapter 42, 1 through 4. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Now it's very plain there where the Father is speaking, and that he is the one that put the Spirit upon his Son Jesus Christ. So in all of this, we see the Father directing all things. While up through this time that Christ is on the earth, while he's on the earth, the Father is using the Holy Spirit in doing much of the work through Christ. So in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 14, where we see mention of what was prophesied in Isaiah 42 that we just read. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 14, it says, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, is he divided against himself? He is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now we can see there that these Pharisees were crediting Beelzebub as being the one giving the power to Christ to cast out devils, which of course, as Jesus pointed out, made no sense at all. But since it was the Holy Spirit that was actually the one that was working through Christ at that time, that he and the Holy Spirit was the one giving him the power and directing this, then when they say it was by Beelzebub, then who are they calling Beelzebub? And that's what Jesus responded to next, because they were blaspheming against the Holy Spirit to say those to say that. So Jesus said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And so that particular context where Jesus made that statement about the seriousness of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it was the context there was the Holy Spirit being the one who gave Jesus that power and was directing those miracles through him. Of course, it was the Father, as we read in the prophecy in Isaiah, the Father doing it, but the Father was directing it, and the Holy Spirit was the one that was actually doing that through Christ, doing these works through Christ at the Father's direction. So that's the authority arrangement in heaven we're seeing at this time while Christ is on the earth. We see the same, what we just read there in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12. Just for your notes, if you want to look at it elsewhere in Mark 3, 22 through 30, that is also recorded there, and as well as in Luke 11, 14 through 20. And then Luke 12, verse 10 records Jesus again stating that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven. In Luke 4, verse 14, we read another statement in Christ's work. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Isn't it interesting how many times we're reading about the power of the Holy Spirit in directing Christ's work while he was on this earth? Another prophecy we want to look at is in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now we find this particular prophecy quoted by Christ in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, when he came to Nazareth, his hometown. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? Well, that scripture that was fulfilled, it started by saying that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon Christ, as the Lord had anointed him to preach and to do those works that he was doing. So the Holy Spirit was the one prophesied to be working through Christ in that, at the Father's direction, and that's what Jesus said was fulfilled, that particular one on that very day. John 3, verse 34. Now, we've recently been studying in our Sunday morning classes from 2 Kings about Elijah the prophet and Elisha the prophet, and we recall how when Elijah was caught up in the whirlwind, or prior to that, when Elijah asked Elisha what his request would be, it was that he would receive a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah. And Elijah said that that was a hard thing that he was asking, but it would be fulfilled if he were with Elijah and saw him caught up into heaven in the whirlwind. And he was. And so it was fulfilled on him. So we read all those miracles and so many great miracles that the Lord did in bearing witness to Elijah the Tishbite. But then Elisha had a double portion of the Spirit. And we read, and we've had the opportunity to go through several chapters and those early chapters in the book of 2 Kings that record many of those great miracles that were done by Elisha. And of course, the Lord doing that. But in John 3, verse 34, when we think of Elijah and the portion of the Spirit that he had, and then Elisha with a double portion of that, John 3, verse 34 says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." So if Elijah had his measure and then Elisha had twice that, what did Jesus have? Well, he said it's not by measure. So it was a measureless amount, full amount, whatever that is. But again, it's we're seeing that Christ's work on this earth, and that's what he's talking about, was in from the miracles that were done. We actually see that it started when he was conceived in Mary's womb, but then all those miracles that he did and the words that he was speaking being the words of God. But all this came by the Father's direction, but it was based on him giving the Spirit to him without measure. In Acts chapter 1, the first two verses of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, 1 and 2. And this is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke that begins with Luke being the inspired writer to this Theophilus. And so he begins the book of Acts saying, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." Well, that would be the Gospel of Luke. So that was the first treatise, the first book that the Lord inspired through Luke to Theophilus. So right away, we have identified from that statement that Luke is the inspired writer of the book of Acts. But he says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." So here again, it was through the Holy Spirit that Christ was giving commandments to his apostles. Acts chapter 10, 36 through 38 says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So from the prophecies all the way through the work of Christ recorded in the Gospels, and even as it's summarized in these passages in the book of Acts, the Father had a work for his Son. This is the authority in heaven and the arrangement there. The Father had a work for his Son to do, sent him to do that work, and then the Holy Spirit he used be involved in the direction and the accomplishment of that work. So that was how things went while Christ was on the earth. Now, after his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, there is a change that takes place, where after that, the Holy Spirit's work was then directed by Christ. So the Father continued to direct the work, but instead of the Father directing Christ's work using the Holy Spirit, the Father directed the Holy Spirit's work using his Son, Jesus Christ, to whom he gave all authority in heaven and in earth. So there is a change now in the authority arrangement as it continues to exist to this present time. But many of the works that are recorded, the specific works that are recorded to demonstrate this, were miraculous works, which we no longer have present among us. But all things are being directed by Christ after the counsel of his will, because he has all authority in heaven and in earth. Of course, as we've also seen in 1 Corinthians 15, the Father himself is not under Christ's authority. He is the exception to that, but Christ is doing all things in accordance with the Father's direction, but he's been the one given all authority in heaven and earth, which means the Holy Spirit's work for the remainder of the New Testament period, which would continue right now and will to the end of time until this world ends, it's going to be through by Christ's authority. So that change did take place. Well, we read about that change taking place in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, to his apostles, saying, all power, and if we pointed out before, this is the Greek word exousia, which is authoritative power, as in governmental power. It's not the word dunamis here, which is power of force. Jesus has that too, but he's referring to authority here when he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, we just read that in Acts chapter 10, that he is Lord of all. Well, John 14, 16 and 17, in advance of this, and these words that we want to take a few moments to look at, a few passages from John 14 through 16, but those chapters, actually starting in John 13 all the way through 16, are the words that Christ was speaking to his apostles in that upper room where he ate the Passover with them on his last night on the earth. And then, of course, John 17 records the prayer that Jesus prayed. It's only found there. But then he went out into the Garden of Gethsemane and took Peter and James and John with him after that. And then he was betrayed and then went and was tried and then the following day crucified, as we know. But these words that we're reading through John 14, 15, and 16 that pertain to this subject, these are all words that Jesus spoke to his apostles in that upper room there on his last night on the earth with them. And a lot of what he was saying was very directly on that subject of it being the end of his time with them, and he was going to be going away from them, which is why he was making this promise of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, being given to them after Jesus was gone. Let's read John 14, 16 through 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now, based on what we just read and what we've read in those two verses there, who is going to be the one directing this work of the Holy Spirit after Christ left the earth? Well, it would be the Father. But who was going to be the one making request of the Father that he would send the Holy Spirit to his disciples? Well, Christ would be doing that. And so then it would be done by Christ's authority. It would be the Father directing it, but it would be through the Son that the Holy Spirit would then be sent to his disciples. John 14, 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now there it is plainly stated, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, by my authority, Jesus was saying. So after he ascended to his Father, the Father was still going to be doing the work, and the Holy Spirit was going to be doing his work, but that work of the Holy Spirit would now be by the Father's direction through the Son. So that's a change from what we were reading about throughout that time when Christ was on the earth. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So there he says it again. Jesus would be the one sending him. It would be from the Father, but then through Christ. He says, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, in all of this, there is no question. No one can listen to these words, read these words, and say that there is no authority arrangement in heaven. There clearly is. And the Father is directing all of these things. The Holy Spirit is doing his work. But now it is through the Son's authority, that authority that the Father gave to him. In John 16, let's turn there to John 16 and read 7 through 15. And here's Jesus speaking again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Now notice that statement, Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit's work after Jesus has ascended to his Father and received all authority in heaven and in earth. He said, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. So there's that change. The Father was giving all authority to Christ, as he says in Colossians chapter 1, it has pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness would dwell. And when Christ is glorified, who was sent by the Father, that glorifies the Father. So the Holy Spirit's work is being done through by the Father through the Son, so that the Son would be glorified and thereby the Father would be glorified. So there's a reason for this arrangement and the change that took place there. But he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. So when those words were given to the apostles, those many things that Jesus had not yet said or spoken to his apostles, the New Testament was not completely revealed during Jesus' lifetime on this earth. He had many things yet to say. He said they could not bear them now. So he was going away from this earth before the New Testament was revealed. Now, most of us, we have our Bibles where the words that Christ spoke while he was on the earth was in red, it's recorded in red, and the rest of the words are in black. But if we really understand the New Testament properly, in the ultimate sense, every word of the New Testament would be in red in that sense, because it was what Christ spoke, the words that he did while he was on the earth, but those things that he spoke afterwards, all those epistles that were inspired through the Apostle Paul, the 13 that we're told of, the five books inspired through John, and then 1st and 2nd Peter and James, and all of those, Book of Hebrews, and all of the books of the New Testament were words from Christ through this Holy Spirit. So the words originated with the Father, and we see that also when he says, he will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. Those words that the Holy Spirit would give to the apostles after Jesus was gone, the Holy Spirit would not speak those words of himself. He would speak what he heard. Well, he was going to hear them from Christ. He says, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Then Jesus said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So what did Jesus have that was strictly of himself. Well, in John 12, Jesus said he wouldn't speak of himself either. So Jesus would receive the words from the Father, and then he would give those words to the Holy Spirit, who then gave those very same words to the apostles. And that's what's recorded in the New Testament. So there was no change along that route. But we noted before that the words came from the Father when Christ was on the earth. The words came from the Father through the Spirit to Christ, who spoke them. Well, then after Christ was gone and received all authority in heaven and in earth, Christ received the words from the Father and then gave those words to the Holy Spirit, who gave them to the apostles and other prophets of the New Testament, and those that were in the church that received those miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we see an example of this, John 20, verses 22 and 23. Says, when he had said this, he breathed on him to his apostles. This is after his resurrection, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Well, here the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus' apostles, but who was the one that directed that at this point after his resurrection? Well, of course, it was Christ, like he said it would be. So that's just one example of that. We have lots of scriptures that show us how the Holy Spirit works through the apostles in fulfillment of this arrangement that was being described there by Christ in John 14 through 16, in those passages that we read. But we can see very clearly that change in the arrangement that took place in heaven after Jesus ascended there, after his resurrection, and was given all authority in heaven and on earth by the Father. And so the Holy Spirit's work also was then directed by the Father through the Son, and continues to be to this day. That is noting that not all of his work is of the miraculous variety. Of course, the part of the inspiration of the scriptures and the performance of miracles to bear witness to the ones whom he was inspiring with those words, we no longer have that with us, but that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit quit working after that point. But we want to look at some more of the Holy Spirit's work through in the church, as it's recorded in the scriptures, that this work that he was doing that was directed by the Son, by his authority. We will resume there, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. We do hope that many will be able to be present for that next.